So electricity retailers have been placed on notice over rising power bills, with the Turnbull government calling in the consumer watchdog to investigate their behaviour. The ACCC will launch a year-long review into why electricity prices have doubled in the decade or so since the electricity market was deregulated. Today's announcement on energy affordability coincides with another very poor opinion poll for the Turnbull government. Josh Frydenberg is the Minister for Environment and Energy, and he joins us in our Parliament House studios. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
Minister, will this ACCC inquiry lead to cheaper power bills for households and businesses?
Certainly that is our hope, Fran, and this announcement today comes after other announcements around reforms to the domestic gas market, and particularly to get more gas into people's homes and to businesses, our efforts to rein in the network costs, and our record investments in battery storage and pumped hydro. So we're getting on with the job of reducing people's power bills and trying to stabilise the electricity system. Now, when it comes to the retail component of people's bills, it makes up to about a quarter of their bill, and the retailers are making very large profit margins.
They sure are. I mean, the Grattan Institute says that retail prices have doubled in four capital cities in the past 10 years. One of those is Melbourne, and in Victoria, there wasn't any of the gold plating of the poles and wires going on, so you can't blame that. I mean, does it suggest that spikes are due to price gouging?
Well, let's just wait and see what the review reveals. But the point is that with retail costs, they are bundled in historically with wholesale costs, and there is not a lot of information as to work out exactly what the profit margins are and other issues related to it. So what we want to do is get more information into the public realm, because the evidence does show if people are prepared to move suppliers, they can save up to $164 a year on their power bill, sometimes more than that. But 50% of people have not moved supplier in the last 5 years, so they tend to be very sticky, and that also applies particularly to vulnerable households, those on the lower income. So we want to get more information into the public realm, and whatever reforms follow from that will be in the best interest of the consumer.
To cite that recent Grattan report again, it found that, that as you say, lower price deals are available. It said consumers find the market so complicated that many give up trying to find them, and therefore, you know, many of the most vulnerable pay more than they need to. Is that your hunch, and you want to get more transparency into the bills, maybe separating out that retail amount? Is that what you're planning on?
Well, let's wait and see. But for example, one of the big suppliers found that 26,000 households were on the older standing offers, which are the least cost effective. Now, if the consumer had been more aware of their options, they no doubt would have moved to what is called a market offer, where they would have got a lower price. And so we need to ensure that there is that flexibility for households to get the best information and to move to the lowest price, because ultimately lower households spend five times as much as higher income households as a part of their disposable income on electricity.
If there is evidence of price rip-offs, if that's what the ACCC finds, what will the government do about it? Will you re-regulate the market? Will you give the ACCC greater enforcement powers? What will you do?
Well, re-regulation may not necessarily be the option, and not necessarily the preferred option of the consumer or indeed the government, because what we need to do is ensure that competition works better. And there are, you know, 60 retail businesses operating across the country, and only six of them are government owned. So they are privately, by and large, privately owned businesses, and competition should be working better than it is. And that's what the Grattan Institute had found. And they'd found that the profit margins of the Australian retailers were up to three times more than their equivalents in the UK, and more than double what you would find from other retailers, whether it's in the food or the vehicle or the petrol industry.
What will the government do about that?
Well, we just have to wait and see what the experts say to us, because the ACCC have special powers of discovery. They can gather the necessary information and make that analysis. There will be an interim report presented to the Treasurer within 6 months, and then a subsequent report, more detailed report after that. But what we saw recently with the ACCC is that they undertook a wide-ranging inquiry into domestic gas markets, advised the government on how we could improve competition, and those reforms have now gone through the COAG Energy Council and are making a difference in energy markets. So the ACCC is the right body with the right powers to undertake this investigation.
Okay, but you're not so keen on necessarily the government capping prices in some way or...
Well, capping prices was the old way. Then we had deregulation, and what we want to ensure is that competition works best for the consumer, okay. And that's what this review will do.
Minister, if you're so keen to lower prices, why won't the government consider an emissions intensity scheme for the electricity sector? Because the CSIRO and the Australian Energy Network have both said it would save households around $216 a year on average. Why would you rule out this remedy?
Well, there's no evidence that actually a emissions intensity scheme will lead to better outcomes for consumers.
Because well, there's research from CSIRO and the Australian Energy Network, two pretty well-qualified bodies.
But actually, they're prefaced on a number of assumptions which are not borne out by the facts. One is that we can get access to cheaper gas. And right now, we're not getting access to cheaper gas, and we're trying to deal with that issue. But secondly, it's about the forced closure of coal-fired power stations. And one of the lessons and the closure of Hazelwood is you need to ensure that there is sufficient stable baseload power available to consumers. So we are very keen to integrate energy and climate change policy in the most effective way and ensure there is a mechanism to incentivise future investment. But the EIS, which was, by the way, ridiculed by Labor's climate change spokesman and minister at the time, Penny Wong, as being a mongrel of a policy.
Well, that's kind of ancient history now.
But that's what she said, so her point still
stands.
Well,
yeah, stands. But your side liked it. Your side were advocating at the time. Better be careful what history you want to invoke.
Look, Fran, what we are focused on is how to stabilise the market, because we're dealing with real-life issues in terms of integrating more intermittent sources into the grid. And today's announcement around the retail prices review follows on significant announcements around the gas markets and the network costs, as well as battery storage.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. The Minister for Environment and Energy, Josh Frydenberg, is our guest. Minister, today's Fairfax Ipsos poll, the government's fallen 10 points behind Labor, two-party preferred. Does that suggest the big Snowy Mark II has failed to capture voters' imaginations?
Well, I certainly think that Snowy was an important announcement, a needed announcement, and one that did capture the interest and the support broadly of Australians. But I'm not going to get into a weekly commentary on polls, because as you know, that is commonplace in this parliament. But last week alone, we were successful in passing our childcare reforms and the means to pay for them, as well as introducing legislation which would stamp out those secret and corrupting payments between big business and unions. So we're getting on with the job. Australia's in its 25th consecutive year of economic growth. That's something to celebrate, but not to be complacent about. And as we've seen in the UK, national security, counter-terrorism, border protection are all increasingly important. So we'll deal with those issues.
And just briefly, on Friday, we were broadcasting from Morwell. The Hazelwood Power Station will close down from today. Tony Abbott told us the key to secure and affordable power supplies is keeping Hazelwood open. Closing it this week is a sheer avoidable folly, he says. And he says coal-fired power would make a lot more difference than pumped hydro, which is trying to solve today's problem in some years' time. Could the government, just briefly, have intervened to keep Hazelwood operational?
Look, we're not intervening, and the best advice to the government comes from the Australian Energy Market Operator, which says that there are significant excess capacity in the market which can be brought on by the market operator to deal with the peak load. But it's the Victorian Labor government which owns this issue. They're the ones who have historically owned the generation assets and booked billions of dollars worth of income by selling them. They're the ones who tripled the coal royalties on operators in the Latrobe Valley, including ONGIE and Mitsui, the owners of Hazelwood, and they're the ones who are preventing further development of the gas resources in Victoria, which is hurting households and businesses.
Josh Frydenberg, thank you very much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Josh Frydenberg is the Federal Minister for Environment and Energy. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 14 minutes to 9.